Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning. Beautiful getaway Friday morning. May the 29th, 2026, last Friday in the month of May, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Kind of weird that we have a Friday in the month of May after Memorial Day, but that's what you get when Memorial Day comes early. Matt Morgan's live in the studio this morning. Now, Matt, you were here this morning as I was pulling in, so that's early. Maybe I should turn on your mic. Go ahead.
Yeah.
See, I give you the credit this, and you got your glasses on, and you're bright-eyed and ready to go. Now, you'll be with us through 11 o'clock this morning, and then you've got some plans this weekend. So we'll be joined by a special guest, actually starting at 10 o'clock. So you'll be here an hour with the special guest, and then the special guest will be here with me for the duration of the morning.
We're going to use the 10 o'clock hour like an exchange club?
I guess it would kind of be, yeah. Well, I think the rest of it will be that way because I haven't talked to this person for a couple months, maybe even longer than that. So we'll have a good time this morning. Now, the one thing I wanted to mention that doesn't really have any significance is yesterday I got my yard mowed. So the yard looked good. And then last night I went outside because it's staying daylight very late now, you know, through June 21st. And I went outside like 9:30. And it was still a little daylight outside. And it was very cool all of a sudden. And I had been out earlier in the day. So the nights are still very cool. And I went out, and it was just the weirdest atmosphere outside. Now, maybe partially it's because it wasn't raining for the first time in many, many days. Or maybe it was the fact that it had gotten cool very quick. Or maybe it was the fact that the yard was freshly mowed and everything looked nice. But I can see the sky very well if I step off the front porch because across the street all there is field and then Route 23. The sky was kind of an orangish, purplish, and it just looked like a painting. And I'm a sky watcher to a certain degree, but like a normal sunset does not catch my eye normally. And I don't think this was a normal sunset last night. It just looked... And I didn't take a picture of it.
I think, I don't know if this sunset was from last night or when it was, but I took a picture of it. I like sunsets. Very nice purple-pink sunset.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, but it was a little darker when I went outside. So it was like shaded, but you could still see the purple and you could still see the orange. And I like that. I think that's evidence of something. Great things going on in the world.
I think it has something to do
with... I'm not having this discussion about you.
I think it has something to do with the sun shining through the clouds.
Could be. But I think the sun had went down.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the horizon there.
Yeah, but I think that's good.
Yeah, that's why I took a picture.
All right. Well, phone lines are open if anybody'd like to call in. 740-383-9944. Oh, and by the way, yesterday, I was leaving this this building, and I ran into somebody down here in the hallway... who knew who I was. That's always fun. And I like to stop and talk to those people. So I stopped and talked to them. And now, do you get the coughs when we start broadcast? Like, the whole time before,
yeah,
I didn't notice you coughing at all.
Well, I wasn't doing a whole lot of talking, and now I'm talking, so it's, you know, clearing up my throat.
Oh, my God. It's all going crazy. All right, we're getting a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Love Pure Marion.
Love Pure Marion. How are you this morning?
The signs that you see in the sky?
Yes.
Those are indicators. The Earth is about to be invaded and taken over.
By who?
Well, that's yet to be discovered. We don't know from which galaxy or solar system these invaders are coming from.
Well, it could, you know, as I say,
some of them have already been here. You know, you take a look at Marion City Council, and you got to go, hmm.
Well, they are a different bunch, but as I've said before, and after the conversation we had yesterday about a lot of their things, I do want to say, I do believe that City Council is doing what they think is right. Now,
oh, absolutely, but remember, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, they all thought what they were doing was right.
Well, I'm not necessarily sure they're on that level, but I think the mayor, here's what I think has happened with the mayor. I think the mayor came in and he followed two mayors that had really long terms who had a lot of legislative experience before they came mayor. Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Kellogg both had long tenures on city council before they came mayor, became the mayor. So I think Mayor Collins did not have that. He did not have the benefit of that. And I'm not necessarily sure that he, as a police officer, knew how to deal with people on a very cordial basis. And I also don't think he really... I mean, it takes a minute to get the legislative experience down as a mayor, what you can do, what you can't do. And he certainly, as he has said before, he's not an accountant. So... I think he walked in at a time that was probably not advantageous to him to become the mayor, and I think that's what we've seen.
Well, it's kind of obvious he's essentially triple dipping at the expense of the taxpayers. And he figured, what the hell, nobody else is running, I'm going to run. And then he spends a ridiculous amount of money with plastering his yard signs all over the place. And then he finds out, oops, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I got elected. And now he's in one hell of a quagmire.
Well,
but here's something to think about. Did not. Let's see. They're going to vote on a four-year term, right? For city council, a staggered four-year term versus 2 years?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Now, that they would vote to send it to the voters is what would
right.
happen. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Considering that, and then considering where does it stand for time limitations for someone to speak?
Well, that's up in the air right now because...
Well, consider this. Here, they want to constrict people's inputs and kind of muffle them as best they can, and yet they want each ward, each council member to linger on.
Well,
it's absurd because, you know, if somebody's good, the voters will vote for them over and over again. There's no sense in imposing an individual who may be incompetent for 4 years, when if you get somebody who's incompetent and there's a 2-year limit and they got to run again, they're out in 2 years. Now, the incompetency will linger.
Well, here's my read on this decorum, is what they're calling it. First of all, it's still in committee. It has never made it to council yet, these new rules of decorum. And apparently there has been no legislation that allowed the public to talk since 1968, even though obviously it's been allowed. But the last time this was brought up in committee, it did not seem as if the committee members were going to send it on to council because... It was pointed out that if you have a strong council president, you don't need these rules. And also,
exactly.
there were some things in there that the council members, Ralph Smith, I remember bringing them up, and I think Scott Kreider's on that committee as well, and I think he brought some of this up, that don't make a lot of sense for city council. So I wouldn't bet the house and the farm and the car that's even going to get out of committee at this point.
Well, you can bet your tax dollars.
But do you think it that'll... Do you think it's going to make it to council? I don't know if that legislation...
I sure as hell hope not. Who's... who chairs that? That's...
That's Ralph.
Yeah. And he's the one that... at one point, I don't know if he's realized he was wrong, to send it on to council regardless. I forget what the legislation was. I think it was maybe something with economic development. I don't really recall. But, you know, these... there are enough things on, but most particularly, you hit the nail on the head. The president of council. I wish somebody would inject some IQ into her and to get her learning Robert's Rules of Order and being able to conduct business. She mumbles. And you have, what's his name, Pollock up there. Okay, you do this. Oh, you need to do it. Oh, okay. You know, she, the training wheels have to come off, and unfortunately, it's at the expense of the taxpayers.
Well, it's interesting because I obviously Mary is a nice woman, and I think it's very hard for a lot of these council people to try to put pressure on her to do things that she probably should be doing. And I think one of the problems is that...
Well, you know, people who are in public office, run for public office, are there and held in public trust. And if they can't do the job, they should be made fun of. Hopefully, it'll get them to have an aha moment to say, damn, I better bone up and learn this job. It's not as easy as what I thought it was.
Well, this comes to another completely different subject, not to do with city government, but I'm going to get your opinion on this because it's almost the same point we're making here, just not with government. But what I want to say on this city government, Matt, you can give your opinion here. But what I think is happening, see, here's the thing. You can never really know what the reasoning is. But as I've said, I've seen Phil Reed be council president. I've seen Dave Edwards. I've seen Scott Gray. I've seen Kate Fisher. I've seen...
Did you ever see Jerry Ballinger?
I didn't see Ballinger.
Yeah.
But I saw Todd Schneider. And all of these people would throw people out of council. They would throw council members out of meetings. I always say, if you think now is where the real fights are from citizens and council members, it was far worse. When Don Fleming was there and Ed Christensen and certain council members that had really hot head, I think Josh Daniels was thrown out of a meeting one time, and Josh, I'm sorry if it wasn't you, but I know council...
I don't see how they could have thrown somebody out of a meeting.
Well, they did. They did.
Why? For what reason?
Well, because they were getting... There were arguments going on between them and audience members. And
let's define argument.
There have been points.
Arguments, and then people being argumentative.
Well,
you have the pros and cons, and you argue the merits one way or the other versus an argument. So they got into a verbal...
That was personal. That was personal. And council presidents have always used the discretion that if it is not on topic and you're just calling names and it's going off in a personal route, they have stopped it. And if they've had to stop you more than once from calling names or going personal, they have ejected people from council meetings, including council members. And Mary, for whatever reason, has not done that in 2.5 years. Now, maybe that's because she's felt it hasn't needed to be done. Or maybe...
Well, you know, when I was there, and after the wonderful, omnipotent, omniscient Gus Comstock said, well, I don't live in Marion, but I ride my bike all around Marion County, and I got up and I said, well, I think Mr. Comstock's physique would contradict that statement. Oh, you can't say that. Well, tough. You know, Which is more preferable? Being euphemistic or just being downright to the point and unapologetically truthful about it?
Well, here's the thing.
Should we say bullshit or bovine scat?
Well, I'm
which
not
is more offensive.
Well, I'm not council president and I don't live in the city, so this isn't my circus to begin with.
Yeah, but you have a discernible mind, which is preferable.
Well, here's what
would
I would
say. Prefer somebody saying bullshit or bovine scat?
Well, here's what I would say is that I know that there are, of the five past council presidents that I mentioned, if a comment like that was made, and I'm not saying I would agree with their decision on this, some of those people would have probably objected you, or at the very least, they would have gaveled you. There were some very quick to do that. And if they felt that it didn't have to do with can do, and they felt that it was a personal attack, or any bit of profanity, they had no problem throwing people out.
See, they're borderline civil rights violation. And, well, I'm sure somebody has already addressed that issue. But they could be, you know, they could be in some really deep, deep bovine scat.
I want to get Matt's opinion, then I want you to stay on the line because I'm going to bring up this other subject that is similar with this, but not with the city. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, opinion. You guys have talked some. I mean, I we told on council presidents. I mean,
yeah, the decorum rules I've and only, do you think they're going to pass and so on and so forth.
Now, I've only ever seen two administrations. I saw the back end of the Scherzer administration, and I've seen a good portion of.
So you saw Schneider.
Yeah, Todd Schneider.
Yeah.
I thought that the meetings just overall I feel went better when I mean Todd Schneider did do a lot of gaveling. I can recall him talking significantly more than I've seen Mary talk. You know, he gaveled people, so on and so forth.
And I think
that he did the job of council president pretty well.
Well, and Todd comes from the schools, and I think profanity means something to him because I'm sure he has chastised children at school, students, for using profanity. I think his bar was much lower for what deserves a gaveling. And I think that probably is because of his education background. Now, that being said, the other subject that I want to bring up here is the popcorn festival fight that went on this week. Have you heard about this?
I have not heard about that.
Okay, well, this is, I'm going to tie this into what we just talked about. Well, apparently what happened, last Thursday, the popcorn festival announced their entertainment for this upcoming year. And I don't know who these people are, but you know, whatever. I didn't know who the people were last year, and there's been a lot of years where I don't know who the people are. But when they made this announcement, it really upset a group of people. There was a group of people who says, I don't know who these people are. I'm not going to come to the festival. Why can't you get better talent? You've had great talent in years past. And then they did something that really cheesed people off. Because as anybody knows, Marion, for the 45 years of the Popcorn Festival, we have had Willie Nelson. We have had Kelly Pickler. We have had George Jones. We have had a lot of really top, I believe the Oak Ridge Boys were there.
George Jones actually showed up?
Who's that? George Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He actually showed up
at the Popcorn
Festival.
The only person to no show was Tom Jones. But country music has always been a big part of the festival, and most years of the 45, it was the big drawer. It drew the biggest crowd. Well, for the first time in 45 years, they do not have a country act at the festival. And also, to pour salt in that wound, apparently, they booked somebody from The Voice reality show who has made derogative comments about country music. So not only did they tick off the biggest constituency the Popcorn Festival has in 45 years, the country music fan, but they booked somebody essentially in their place who has verbally in the media trashed country music. So all that to say this, is the Popcorn Festival president on Monday, 4 days after the announcement of the talent, on Memorial Day, makes a video, puts it out on the internet, talking about how hard it is to book talent, and talking about how, essentially, we were looking at other people, but there were conflicts, and this is the best we could do. Now, here's why I think this is a bad thing to do. If you're bringing talent, first of all, the Popcorn Festival's talent is free. It's not going to hurt you or help you, no matter how many people show up, because it's free entertainment. And they're probably going to draw a crowd, because there are a lot of other things down there to get people down there. Food trucks and games and local entertainment and art shows and all that that goes on. Beer gardens. But for the Popcorn Festival president to get so riled up about this, to post a response video, I think that was a little problematic, because essentially he's saying if we could have done better, we would have. And I think that throws the talent that you chose under the bus, partially. And I don't think that that's a good thing. And why are you responding to this anyway? Who cares? It's 3 months away. And so the point that I'm making is, much like council, much like the mayor, I think that people have a very thin skin. And clearly these people at the Popcorn Festival did not like the bad response that they were getting to their talent choices.
So what's this? Are you just saying?
So the point is,
there was an argument. I thought there was a physical fight over this.
No. But I mean, it got a lot of attention. It got the Popcorn Festival's attention.
Who's the president of the Popcorn Festival?
I think it's a new president. I'm trying to think of his name.
Not Kurt Detweiler.
No.
Maybe they should have gotten a hold of Kurt Detweiler to land the talent.
Well, here's the thing. I do not understand why the Popcorn Festival president would respond to the negativity. It's everybody's right, much like with city council. If you don't like what's going on in the city, you have a right to complain. If you don't like the talent that was picked, you have a right to complain.
I think a lot of problems could be solved by just not responding. Like, there's a lot of times at the city council meetings where I think it would be just better if city council either didn't say anything or, like, simply said something like, I'll take that into consideration, and then moved on.
That's it. If you are in those positions of making the decisions, don't respond. Don't engage. And the
to Matt, the patented answer is, I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, I mean, that worked with me, too, yeah. I mean, there's no point to argue about it. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody's going to change their mind. You got your things, they got theirs.
You can't argue with idiots, you know? And some people will just try because they're so cocksure they're correct, but they'll keep arguing to try to get it in. But, you have to know when to hold them, you know?
Well, and the Popcorn Festival thing would not have even been a story. I mean, people complain about the entertainment pretty much every year. They don't like some of the entertainment. But when you respond in a 10-minute video explaining why you choose the talent, how you choose the talent, that's not good, because it sounds like you don't feel this is the best talent. Because you're saying,
it sounds like they really weren't doing the best job they could do, and they were making an excuse for it.
Well, see, that's how it comes off, but you throw the talent that you have chosen under the bus by doing that. So why don't you just say, this is the best talent we could get this year. We hope you enjoy it. The concerts are free. A lot of people put a lot of work into this. Volunteer hours. Enjoy the festival on Labor Day. That would have been fine.
That's the biggest thing that can hurt the Popcorn Festival or any organization, any event, is when you do things that your volunteers are kind of wondering about the leadership. Am I wasting my time because some body fails to be a good leader.
Well, I just thought the response was bad. I don't think you should respond to that. I maybe he had good intentions in responding. I just, if he'd have left it alone, it would have been much better. Don't engage. Because
being the president of the Popcorn Festival is obviously, it is a volunteer. They're not getting paid, right?
Right, I don't think so, yes.
And you know, if somebody bitches, moans, and belly aches, say, okay, next year, you do it.
Well, and by the way, I do want to bring up this point. There was a president of the Popcorn Festival who came in and booked talent, and I truly don't remember their name. But if you gave me a list, I could point them out to you. In the last 10 years, the Popcorn Festival had 1 year where the entertainment was really panned. And essentially, people just said, really, this is bad entertainment. And I think they didn't draw the crowds that they had drawn in the past. And the day after the Popcorn Festival was over, the day after, that person resigned. Now, did they resign because they felt it was such a failure? Did they resign because people were complaining heavy that they weren't drawing the crowds? I don't know for sure, but I can tell you they didn't wait a month. Because the Popcorn Festival wasn't going to happen for another year. They resigned the next day. And actually, the year after that, they brought in a past president who probably did not want to come back in and do it, just to kind of steady out and stable out the festival, because it had had such a bad year because of the entertainment choices. And I think maybe that's what this person was trying to avoid.
You think they could charge for the tickets? I mean, not like, you know, like five bucks?
No. It's been free for 45 years.
They have the roped-off area for seating if you want to pay a little more to get closer to the stage, right?
Right, right. I mean, I think those are, a lot of that's given out to businesses and things like that who support the festival. But
I'm trying to remember, who was the country artist female that was the gal pal of Fred Thompson? She was pretty big that year. I can't think of her name.
They had a lot of big.
You can Google it, and yeah, you know.
Well, I think it's a combination. I think it's not only did people feel the entertainment's bad, it's that you threw out country music, which in Marion, Ohio, is not a good idea, and then you bring in somebody who has trashed country music. I think that, I mean, bad mistakes here if you're the Popcorn Festival board. And we'll see what happens, but why do people engage, I don't understand.
Marion has a major problem. By and large, the people that are on this board, on that board, some of the same people, it's a bloody mutual admiration society is what it boils down to. And everybody goes along to get along, and if some people are afraid to say, nah, I think maybe go this way might be a better way or whatever, and that's it. It becomes a social club instead of really, they lose the focus of what needs to be done.
Well,
they do what is most comfortable to do and not necessarily something that takes a little bit more effort to be able to excel.
Well, I just want to bring this up as a cautionary tale, and Here's the story. We have had several directors at the Palace who have been very good directors. And we had a director who actually was very good, but they booked a lot of talent that was older skewing. You know, like they would have the Four Tops imitations, and they would have the Letterman come in twice a year or once a year or whatever it was. And the big complaint always was, this doesn't appeal to the younger people in Marion, and this is why young people don't come to the Palace. And their reasoning was, listen, when we have the Letterman, we nearly sell out. When we have Don Knotts and Tim Conway, we sell out. That's why we're doing this. So this person retired, and they got a much younger director because the board, I think, was listening to these complaints over a period of time. So this
was a young director. Was that Kirk Detweiler?
No, no, this wasn't Kirk.
Director.
No, no.
Oh my God, it's going to be magnificent.
No, this was not Kirk. But they brought in a new director. And this person actually came from a different state and had a very theatrical background, more than the director that we had a theatrical background. So this person came in and started booking much more contemporary shows.
I can't remember her name. She was one of the community gardeners.
Well, she's also went on to her reward. She has since died. So, you know, I don't want to mention her and run her through the mud here. But the truth is, she came in and the attendance, because she got rid of those Letterman shows and she got rid of things like that. And she brought in these more contemporary artists and they did not draw. And when you're bringing in talent that cost probably in that day $20,000, $30,000, and you're not drawing, you know, you're only drawing 500 seats in a 1,400 seat theater, the profits are going down. And also then your sponsors, your donors are angry because a lot of those people were of a certain age and they didn't like the entertainment. They weren't buying season passes. I believe this person lasted 2 or 3 years and was fired and let go. So here's a line to people in the entertainment business in Marion. If you think you're going to reinvent the wheel and people are going to come, listen, it's just not going to work. Now, you can incorporate some of that every so often. You can take a hit every so often in the midst of the Letterman and people like that. But you can't totally exclude that group. And I kind of feel that's what the Popcorn Festival has done here with country music.
What's the Popcorn Festival's, like, music budget?
I don't know.
No, okay.
What does that matter?
Like $100,000?
Probably.
What is the Popcorn Festival what?
Music, like the music budget.
Yeah, but what's the point, I guess?
You're kind of quiet there on the mic.
Budget?
That'd be interesting to find out.
I'm sure it's substantial. Okay, so what's the point?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it can't call... I mean, I don't know. I've never tried to book an act, I guess. But, I mean, Like you mentioned Tracy Bird at the Broadway.
Yes, this is not a money issue at all.
I don't think Tracy Bird would cost all that much money.
No, it's not a money issue. You could get 90s country people. There's one of them rolling around out there that would have come. But no, this is not a money issue. So anybody who says it's a money issue, that's a little false. Because if you take out one of these people, they had to choose these people. These are not the only two working artists in the country today.
Well, here's something you have to consider as well. When do they engage these people? Do they plan as far out as a lot of these booking agencies do for talent, like a year in advance? When do they start going and trying to secure these acts? When I did the fly-in, I worked year-round and made sure that we could get NASA's Journey to Tomorrow, the Tuskegee Airmen, etc. That took a lot of planning ahead of time.
Well, and
I don't know if that's necessarily what's going on with the Popcorn Festival, or did they just say, okay, first of the year, it's going to happen in September, we got 9 months, oh, we can't get them, they're booked, we can't, you know.
Well, let's just...
That's something to maybe be discovered.
Well, here's the thing, 45 years, and you've always been able to come up with a very decent country music act. And one of the reasons is because we are only 6 hours away from Nashville, where a lot of these people live. And if they are not in the area, they will drive here. They don't consider Ohio a long distance away from where they live, 6 hours. So,
well, you know, too, what would be interesting is if some enterprising individuals would just go down to Nashville, go to the bars, and if they see a hot act, approach them right then and there and say, hey, we're scouting for the Popcorn Festival. How would you like to play? You
know? Here's what I will tell you, and this is my final word. Here's what I will tell you probably happened. Like the 90s country people right now are very big on the circuit, the entertainment circuit, because they're not extremely hot right now because they're from the 90s. That's been 30 years ago. But they do have songs that everybody knows because in the 90s they were number one hits. So a group like that you could probably get for in between $20,000 and $30,000. And that's not bad for a whole band and a singer that somebody knows and so on and so forth. My guess is that this group right now looked at these groups because one thing they have, it's seemingly old, I don't know if this, I can't even think of the group's name, but they're an older sort of rock band type of a group, but this person who replaced country music, now she is from The Voice, so she's fairly new. I think they thought that will work better, that's newer than somebody who was big in the 90s.
Yeah, but John Michael Montgomery? I'd go see John Michael Montgomery.
But that's
again.
Not, I don't think this is a country music group.
Would you go see John Mellencamp?
I saw John Mellencamp in concert, actually. Like in concert with Willie Nelson.
Well, Farm Aid?
No, not Farm Aid. But this is, I guess the point is, don't be so touchy if you are making decisions. If you want to, there are a lot of things that go along with being the president of the board, doing public events, being a part of an organization, being in city government. You've got to take some criticism. You can't be so touchy that you've got to fire back on everything. And all this message from the Popcorn Festival did for me was tell me that they're worried. They must have really felt under fire from people to put out a message on Memorial Day.
Well, you know, we still have what that one station MRN has is country, right?
I believe so. And does very well, I think.
You would think that, hey, maybe get a hold of Beichelman, see if he can get a hold of somebody at Clear Channel or whoever owns, or it's iHeartMedia, I guess, and say, hey, what kind of connections, you know, can we do a co-sponsor with iHeartMedia and country, whatever the channel is, and be kind of co-sponsor here and bring some talent in for country, you know?
Well, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting, but we got 3 months.
I'll tell you, it's going to all change when I become king of Marion.
There you go. Thanks for calling.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So there it is.
I think that they could have probably gotten a country act in there. I don't know why they couldn't have.
I think their contention is they couldn't have, I guess. I don't know. I just think it's bad to respond. I'm not criticizing what they've done.
I wouldn't respond.
I didn't know who the acts were last year. Now, that doesn't mean they're not good acts. It just could mean that I'm out of touch. But the point is, if you do something in the public like that, you can't not expect criticism. I don't understand this. We can't take criticism.
Well, I don't. Maybe they really felt that they were going to be down in attendance or something.
Well, what is responding like that going to do?
I don't know.
I just don't think that people are
I think they probably could have, like, hyped up the bands they got, maybe. Maybe you could have drawn
some of that. Some of it. But but I don't think it was the main thrust of their video. Like I said, it almost came off like there were other acts that we were looking at, but we couldn't get them because of scheduling conflicts. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very good for the acts that you did end up with.
They like third options.
I don't know. It just was an odd, odd video that I would not have done. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I don't know where that decorum conversation's going in council. It's still in committee. There's a lot of questions about that, and I don't think that...
I think the decorum rule is probably only going to be as good as enforcement is.
Well, that's right, and I'm not sure that everybody on that committee is for this rule. So I'm not even sure it'll make it out of committee. I guess we'll find out. Well, the big story getting a lot of attention, well over 90 comments now on social media, is the fact that the fire station was voted, well, the would-be fire station, the Rite Aid building on Main Street, was voted to be leased out on Tuesday night by City Council unanimously, $4,000 a month to Goodwill as a... sort of a distribution center. It's not a building that will be open to the public. Goodwill will pay the utilities. And there's an option for 6 more months. And the mayor said, because of the city's financial situation, the city's not going to be doing anything with that building anytime in the near future.
Does that $4,000 a month go into the pot to buy the fire station when that comes around?
It goes toward the firefighters. They did say that.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this decorum thing that is going on, does that include the mayor and the council members and anything?
Yes, I believe it applies to everybody.
If they cuss or whatever, are they out?
Yes, I believe it applies to everybody.
Yeah, that's the way it should. It should apply to everybody. But I don't think people need to be made fun of and humiliated. You know, like you say, most of them are doing what they think is right. And that kind of stuff just leads to their response, and you respond back. You know, that's... You think the founding fathers of this country would have got anywhere if that's what they wanted to do to each other all the time?
Well, I think they yelled at each other, and I think they did call names.
You know,
we had some political canings.
You know, making fun of and humiliating people, I mean...
But the things... It is very interesting to me that you know, we're at the 250-year point. Very close to it.
Going downhill quick.
Well, it's interesting to me the things today, because I do wonder about this, the things today that people refer to as patriotism and things of that nature when it comes to free speech, I'm not sure that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and that group really ever foresaw social media trashing
the
people.
They are now.
I don't think they saw social media trashing people. I don't think they saw cable news making senators and congresspeople afraid to vote because voting against your party, you'll get trashed on the network that night and lose your seat. I don't think they foresaw that citizens would make personal attacks on the politicians. And the politicians would make personal attacks on the citizens. I don't think they thought it would deteriorate that way.
That a president would come in there and not abide by court's ruling, knock down half the White House, build... Have you seen what's going on there at the White House?
Oh, they're going to have a cage fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... To me, I think the Department of Justice and all that should not be under the president's control completely. I don't think they foresaw that you had a president that was going to get his Department of Justice to go after people just because they're a comedian and they make fun of them. Or they're a Republican and they don't want to vote the way the president wants. So, you know, the MAGA crowd, you know, will go after them.
Well, that's supposed to be the checks and balances. He can't just appoint people. The Congress and the Senate have to, you know, or I guess the Senate has to.
Yes,
have to,
but you know what we have to do? We've got to go to a break. Because that's how we are here. But we've got more hours coming up. Stay tuned. We only got about a 15-minute break here. We'll be back and we'll continue the conversation after this short but important break.
With that electricity, if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you, yeah, all you'd have to do.